This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. I'm coming to you live from the Meadowlands, the FanDuel Sportsbook, where we're going to be doing the Michael Kay Show. And we are doing the podcast from here as well. So hopefully everybody is going to have a great weekend. And let's get you started with a podcast, kind of a continuation from yesterday. After I had finished my podcast and gave my opinion on Pierre Maguire, NBC reached out to me via email to say that Pierre Maguire had responded, and unfortunately the podcast was already up, so I wanted to take this time here to at least give Pierre Maguire's statement and his apology for what had happened back on Wednesday during the Lightning-Penguins game that we discussed on the podcast yesterday. And I defended Pierre, at the same time criticized him for the words that he used. And here's the statement from Pierre. I've known Kendall for years and have had the privilege of covering her as a member of Team USA at the past two Winter Olympics. We were all thrilled to have her join our coverage last night, but at times my excitement got the better of me and I should have chosen my words better. I have the utmost respect for Kendall as a world-class player, analyst of the game, and role model. So clearly, I figured that's exactly what he would do, and that was the right thing to do, all right? He's a good guy. He just misspoke, and I think he did the right thing by having the apology. And there was a long statement made by Kendall Coyne Schofield, and to give the gist of it, she had no problem with it because she's known Pierre for a long time, and she completely got it. So as far as everybody being offended, demanding a firing, demanding this, that, and the other thing, I thought both parties handled it well. Because here's how I feel about offense. The person that needed to be offended the most, or should have been offended the most, was Kendall. And she didn't have a problem with it. But she also understood that he misspoke. I thought it was important that she put that in her statement as well. Because of the fact, you know what, I should just read it for you anyway, and you can make your own determination from here. But I'll give you kind of the gist here as far as Pierre is concerned. I've known Pierre Maguire for years. I know he respects me as a hockey player, a woman, and a friend, and that is why I didn't think twice about our on-air exchange when it happened. I didn't give it a second thought until after the game when I received countless messages. I went back and looked at the video. I understand why people would think it was inappropriate. If you were watching it at home and saw a man say this to a woman athlete, I would have been offended. But what I also know is how excited Pierre was to me and to be a part of the moment. While I wish it came out differently, I know Pierre doesn't question my hockey knowledge, but to be honest, that's not what's important. So I thought both of them handled it very well, and I guess we can all just put it aside here. I think it's important in this society to have the radar up when things like that happen, but also be forgiving as well and trying to be a little bit understanding that sometimes when things come across the way that they do, you have to count on misspeak or giving a second chance. And I also think a person's reputation should also come into account as well. And I think Pierre's reputation has been pristine as far as his treatment of women, his respect of women, from what I can understand, and certainly their relationship shown through the controversy. So now I think we can all move on. And I also understand that Pierre is very hateable. There's a lot of people that do not like Pierre Maguire because, just like a lot of other analysts in a lot of other sports, they think that he is against your team or he favors Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin or whatever. Listen, it happens everywhere, and people shouldn't get too overly excited about it. But I do think some of the complaining did come from a place of people not really appreciating Pierre's role or just not liking Pierre in the first place. But fair is fair, and I thought it was handled well on both sides, and now we can move on. Three games from last night, Rangers beat the Devils 4-3. An unbelievable stat came from this game. Mika Zibanejad's got a 4.9, records a hat trick. He has just been on fire for the Rangers, who have won four of their last five. That is the first hat trick a Ranger player has had in New Jersey since Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final in 1994 when Messier made the guarantee and scored the hat trick and hit the empty netter to put a Game 7 on in the Eastern Conference Final. Just unbelievable that on the 25th anniversary of the Rangers' last cup that Mika Zibanejad was able to do that. But a spirited game, certainly. Not the greatest of goaltending on either side, but when the saves need to be made, Hank made them. And when the goals need to be scored, the Rangers scored them. And now they've won four of their last five. Still, I think making the playoffs is going to be very heavy lifting, but they want to see this team play well, and they certainly did last night. Philadelphia has now won six in a row, a nice come-from-behind victory over Boston by the final score of 3-2. Boston had the 2-1 lead. Pastrnak, a couple of goals, including his 30th of the year and including his 15th on the power play, which leads the National Hockey League. Lindblom scores midway through the third to tie it. Sanheim on the power play gets the game-winning goal in overtime as Philadelphia again wins their sixth in a row. Boston does earn a point. Tuukka Rask came back into the lineup after suffering the concussion on the last game before the break for Boston. And a tough loss for Columbus as they fall in Winnipeg to the Jets 4-3. Shifley gave Winnipeg the 1-0 lead, but then Panarin, Anderson came back. It was 2-1 at the end of one. Appleton tied it at 2, but Bjorkstrand late in the second period made it 3-2 going into the third period, but Roslovic gets the game tire midway through the third, and then Connor, who's just been hot as a pistol, was 22nd goal of the year. That came late with 1:14 left on the clock in regulation to give Winnipeg the win. All right, let's look at a busy schedule tonight. Finally, we got some games to sink our teeth into. Islanders come back from their bye, protecting a 3-point lead in the division as they welcome in the Tampa Bay Lightning, best team in the National Hockey League, but coming off a disappointing effort in Pittsburgh, 4-2. This will be the first of back-to-backs for the Lightning. They'll be in New York to take on the Rangers at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. Blackhawks and Sabres. Listen, this is the game the Sabres have to get. You have to beat the teams that are behind you in the standings if you want to make up the ground. Buffalo will have a chance to do that tonight. Predators are at Florida to take on the Panthers. Penguins home for the Senators. Real good game. Capitals and the Flames from Washington. Flames the best team in the Western Conference. Capitals battling for first place in the Metropolitan Division. But the Capitals are going to play without Alexander Ovechkin because of the suspension not going to the All-Star game. So they're going to be like their best player against one of the best teams in the NHL. Maple Leafs on the road, which is actually good news for them, against the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. Jake Muzzin makes his debut with the Leafs at 7:30 tonight. The Hurricanes still a chance to make the playoffs, but some heavy lifting tonight with Golden Knights coming in. And then the Wild will be at the Dallas Stars. The Stars trying to hold on to a wild card spot. Well, it's Friday. You know what Friday means. It's the top five of the week.
Don LaGreca's Friday top five.
Yeah! Let's welcome in the Montreal Canadiens to the top five. Why not, right? They've won six of their last 10. Carey Price is playing out of his mind. And the Montreal Canadiens have gotten that all-important three spot in the Atlantic Division. So for the first time this year, probably for the first time in a couple of years, we welcome in the Montreal Canadiens into the top five.
Number four.
I'm going to go with those San Jose Sharks. They've won seven of their last 10. The slew of them all coming off the All-Star game. And looks like San Jose's, I think, them, obviously the Golden Knights, the best chance to catch the Calgary Flames in the Pacific Division. But the Sharks are starting to find themselves a little bit now. And I think Carlson's going to have a big second half of the season. I think San Jose still has a shot here in the West. Obviously, Calgary is the best team in the Western Conference right now, but you don't assess the best teams in February. You assess them when you get to April and obviously beyond. But I think San Jose is going to be in the conversation. I got them at number four.
Number three.
I've got those New York Islanders. They should be at three. Now, they didn't do anything to fall out because they haven't played all week, but they got a chance to protect the division. Nice test tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, of course, Lou Lamoriello talking about how he's going to be aggressive. Obviously, down the line, they've got a chance to get healthier here as they're trying to get some people back into the lineup. Andrew Ladd's very close to coming back. So I like this New York Islanders team a lot. And if they can win this division, boy, I think they could be a team to beat in the Eastern Conference outside of Tampa. I've got the Islanders at number three.
Number two.
Well, until proven otherwise, I love those Calgary Flames. Of course, they haven't played in a while either, but three straight wins, 8-1-1 in their last 10, plus 45 goal differential, very good at home. I'm saying the same things over and over again, but that's how good Calgary has been. I understand their goaltending is always going to come into flux, always going to come into question, but you know what? It's not going to be anything they're going to have to answer until they get into the playoffs. So far, so good. I still think Smith is going to take that job, and if he can stay healthy, he is a legitimate goaltender in the National Hockey League, so I still like Calgary at number two.
Number one.
Yeah! I know the last couple of games haven't been great. They spotted the Islanders a three-goal lead a couple of weeks ago, spotted Pittsburgh a four-goal lead the other night, but this is still a great team that I'm looking forward to see live for the first time tomorrow. I'm going to be calling that game at Madison Square Garden. It's going to be on NBC. It's going to be on national television, Lightning and the Rangers. And, of course, what more can you say? Points having a great year, getting a chance to play on the top line. Kucherov is great. Stamkos, I mean, you look at their lines, it's just unbelievably good how they are. I mean, think of these lines right now. You've got point between Johnson and Kucherov as the number one line. Stamkos is the number two line. He's between Palat and Gord. Then you've got JT Miller, who's on the third line, with Killorn, who's a very good player and also has got a nose for the net late in the game. And your fourth line, you've got Ryan Callahan, who's done a lot in this National Hockey League. I mean, how much more well-rounded can you be? Hedman, Girardi is the top pairing. You got McDonough on the second pairing. Strollman is back and healthy. He's on the third pairing with Sergachev. Really, where's the weakness? Vasilevsky coming off an all-star appearance. Tampa Bay Lightning are stocked, and I'm looking forward to seeing this team and if they can make a run. And remember this, I've said this many times about Tampa, and I think it's fair to continue to bring it up. This is no fluke. I mean, this is a team that went to the conference final last year. They went to the Stanley Cup final back in 2015. So they've kind of been there and done that if you think about it. So I think that they're a dangerous team for sure. I don't think they're any kind of fluke. Once you get into the playoffs, things obviously can change, and you've got to be a little leery sometimes because the best teams don't always win the Stanley Cup, especially the President's Trophy winners. But this is no fluke, and this is a team with a ton of experience. All right, let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. We start with Christopher. He says, hi, Don. On pod yesterday, you mentioned cutting the puck in half when both goalies had a shutout. Why not give each a full puck? There are always a few left over at the end of the game. Thanks for all that you do for us hockey fans. Let's go Islanders. Well, I don't know about the superstition, but I guess it's the last puck that was in play. I guess Hasek and Brodeur both believed in that, and I think that's why they ended up cutting it in half. Haywood says, with KP being moved, do the Rangers move Hank, who isn't a malcontent but can give him a ring for a Stanley Cup? I think it's two completely different sports. Anybody who doesn't follow the NBA maybe didn't notice that Kristaps Porzingis was traded away to the Dallas Mavericks for cap space. And what the tweeter in Haywood is suggesting is, why can't the Rangers do the same with Henrik Lundqvist? Different, completely different scenario. Henrik Lundqvist is a forever player for the Rangers. Porzingis was not. Porzingis did not want to be a Nick. Henrik Lundqvist wants to finish his career as a Nick. And you wouldn't get the cap space. It's a different sport. It's a different feel. So there is really, it's apples to oranges, so it's very difficult to compare. Phillip says, Mika Zibanejad is almost on pace for point per game this season, 48 points in 50 games. Is he the first center the Rangers have been seeking in years or close to it? Could he be the first-line center that could bring home a cup? P.S., Zouk rules too. Well, Zouk's probably going to get traded. Zibanejad could. Now, he's been streaky, but I will say this about Zibanejad. When healthy, he's been terrific. The problem is that sometimes he's suffered these catastrophic injuries and missed time, but maybe he could be. Certainly, and it seems like whoever he plays with, it's magic. And right now with Zuccarello and Kreider, it's one of the best lines in the National Hockey League for sure. Now, they fiddled around. Nemestikov played on that line for a couple of games. Quinn likes to mix and match. But when those three get together, it is unbelievable. Sam Diaz says, McGuire publicly statement was weak. He didn't apologize to Kendall. I was tweeting with someone who thought that an apology would make it more awkward than the exchanges. Again, Sam, you know, I mentioned apology before. I guess you could technically say he did not apologize, but I had no problem with the statement. Kendall had no problem with it. I think we just have to let it go. Ricky says, hey, Don, who would have thought that the Islanders and Lightning would be in first place teams in the East at the halfway point? Both teams play tonight. I don't see Panarin coming via trade. Columbus won't trade in their division. Maybe Duchesne. Your thoughts, thanks. I mean, Duchesne is a possibility, but don't rule out Columbus trading within the division if they believe they fall out of it. Now, I do not believe they're going to trade him unless they fall out of it. So it's kind of a moot point, right? If they fall out of it, it won't matter if they trade him in the division because they believe they're not making the playoffs. If they stay in it, they're going to keep him. Duchesne's a good possibility as well. I would rather have Panarin. Panarin would probably cost you a little bit more. But here's the thing. I don't think Columbus is going to fall out of it anyway, so I don't think he will get traded. Dave says, big fan of the show. Love your insight into the Pierre McGuire situation yesterday. Just wondering if you had any perspective on the career of Marty Turco. Looking at his early 2000 stats, they were amazing, then dropped post-lockout thoughts. Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, Marty Turco was a great goaltender for a very brief period of time, and he wasn't able to sustain it post-lockout. But there were times I had him among the best goaltenders in the league, great personality, great for the sport. But sustainability certainly wasn't there compared to his peers, compared to the Lundqvists and the Brodeurs and the like, where his numbers could be very comparable. Even a Curtis Joseph or an Eddie Belfour, who just had a little bit more consistency in their careers. Dan says, some good news. Columbus Tampa coming out real flat with losses in their first games back. Islanders back tonight against Tampa, coming off a bad loss after their break. Will be a huge advantage for Isles if they can come out strong while team that are chasing them struggle. Yeah, but they could also struggle too, having not played for a while. And I have a feeling that Tampa is going to snap out of what the malaise they were in against Pittsburgh. But as far as what I found, if you look at just the recent history, I thought the Rangers were at a distinct disadvantage early in their game against Philadelphia back on Tuesday because Philadelphia had played the day before. Both were coming off of the long break, but Philadelphia playing the night before seemed to give them an advantage in the first period. They got the early lead and they held on. So I think the Islanders will be sluggish in the first period. If they can survive it, they'll get their legs and they'll hang. But I think Tampa will be at an advantage because of the fact that they played, not a disadvantage because they lost. Forever TH says, if the Leafs don't make a deep run this season, when will the pressure turn to Babcock? He's only made it out of the first round once since 2010. Well, you made a change at general manager, or at least the guy that was making the decisions there with Lou being gone. It would have to be on the table. Now, I think Mike Babcock is one of the best coaches in the league. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's won a gold medal. He took the Ducks to a Stanley Cup final when nobody thought that team was any good. So I think sometimes you make changes just for change's sake. It's tough. It'll see how they go out. Let's see how they play out the rest of the season. But if they're one and done again, that's going to be a disappointment. And the thing that would scare me about Toronto is that right now they'd match up with Boston, and Boston has had their number. So I think that could be a bit of a problem. Tom says, Don, how about a top five names that you had the most trouble with during a game? I'll throw some suggestions out. Yuki Haru, Athanasiou, Gostisbehere, Puljujarvi, Shepashev, also the hands-down winner of saying his whole name is John Scott. Very good point. John, you can't just say Scott. You got to say John Scott. I'd have to think about it, Tom. You sent the tweet out a while ago. I should have read it beforehand. Names that I really struggled with. Gostisbehere when he first came up, but that now flows. It's interesting. When I first came into this business and I started working at Sports Phone, I struggled with who was the tennis player? I got to think about it now because I'm kind of vegging out. There was a name that I struggled with, and I had to say it over and over and over again. It wasn't Kirill Kaprizov. That was one that kind of flowed out. And you just keep practicing and practicing it. But it's different when you're going to make an announcement or you're going to say a name during a talk show. But the problem with doing the play-by-play is that it's got to come out quick, and you don't really have a lot of time to kind of sound it out beforehand or prepare yourself. So whenever he gets the puck, you got to be ready to say it, spit it out, and then move on. I remember Athanasiou when he first came into the league. I was like, how am I going to say that? And I just over and over and over again until it became a habit. I'd have to think about some of them. There were real difficult ones. I remember Zibanejad when he first came into the league with Ottawa. It sounds silly now because he's a Ranger and it's easy to say. But those were names. Domestikov was one when he was with Tampa. Okay, I got to go over that name a million times. Domestikov. Again, it flows now because he's a Ranger. But at the time, it was like, God, how do you pronounce the name? So there's a few. I'd have to think about some more of them. But those are the ones I remember going over. But Yuki Haru is a tough one for sure. It's like, how am I going to say that name? It's such a difficult name. Who was the other one that was on the Ottawa Senators? Was it Barakovsky? Because it no way, in any way, shape, or form sounds the way that it's spelled. Stan Nedzkash was another one where you'd have to listen. I'd go to YouTube before games and listen to how the announcers pronounce it. And then I kind of get a feel for it. That's the way I kind of prepare. And if I didn't have YouTube back in the day, and I didn't, take a look at how Stan Nedzkash spelled his name. And how do you come up with Nedzkash? And I remember he was an Ottawa Senator. He actually played a little bit for the Rangers, if I'm not mistaken, towards the end of his career. So those are some of the names that were difficult to say, but I was able to fight through it. And finally, Chris says, hey, Don, let's have a little Friday fun. From now until February 11th, the Flyers have home games against the Oilers, Canucks, Kings, Ducks, and Penguins. Therefore, what happens first, the Flyers loss or Harper and Machado make a decision? Have a great weekend. Well, looking at that, hey, listen, Philadelphia's won six in a row. And, Chris, you know this being a Flyers fan. Even in years they don't make the playoffs, they just seem to always go on these runs where they get these ridiculous winning streaks. They had a 10-game winning streak, what was it, last year, the year before? And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're great. So right now they're riding the 6-game winning streak. But, you know, the Oilers can be dangerous, the Canucks. Hey, the Kings just recently beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. But when I look at that, obviously the Penguins would probably be the heavier lifting team to have to face. But that'd be nice if the team gets a 10-11-game winning streak, find their way back into the Metropolitan Division race. I think that would be a tremendous opportunity for the Philadelphia Flyers to make some hay here late in the season. All right, this was a lot of fun. Thanks to RJ Santillo, was ready, willing, and able to record this for me. Here, the fact that I'm at the sports book and I'm not here at the station, and we were able to fire off the top five. And thanks very much for NBC to calling my attention the statement from Pierre Maguire, so we were able to get that onto the podcast as well. So enjoy your weekend. A lot of hockey. We're back into the swing. Full slate of games over the weekend. So everybody will be back from their buys, and we can get ready for a stretch run here as we get deeper into February. Back with you again on Monday if you want to hear me on the radio, 98.7 ESPN New York, 7:30 coverage, 8 o'clock face-off tomorrow with the Rangers and the Lightning from Madison Square Garden. I'll have the call with Dave Maloney. So thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.